The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Hebrews 10:19. Teaching today is, now that you're in, go all the way. Now that you're in, dash, go all the way. Verse 19 to 23 tells you that we're in. Having therefore, brethren, I love this, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he is consecrated through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. What those verses simply say is Jesus has made a way. Jesus has made a new and living way to do something that the Jews, all of the Old Testament, only the high priest, once a year at that, was able to go into this place called the Holy of Holies and stand before the Ark through this veil. That was only once a year. And even then, he had elaborate shedding of blood for any sin on his part. And you know, the notion that anybody can walk in anytime for anything was beyond the conception of the Jewish mind. And yet that's the preaching in Paul's gospel, in Hebrews, many places. That because of what Jesus did, the veil was rent, we know, after he died, and we have access into the very Holy of Holies, the very august presence of the holiness of God. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus makes us white as snow to stand in the presence of a holy God. I mean, one thing that Don Piper said in his book that really struck me when he died, and he was standing before the gates, and he'd never made it into the gates before the guy is praying for him and he's raised from the dead. He said he never saw God. He was never saw the Lord in that actual experience of being caught and dying and being in heaven. He said the reason he believes he never saw the Lord is even what he saw made it very, very difficult to want to come back. And he was convinced that had he seen the Lord, you would never want to come back. And the rest of life, you would see the absolute meaningless of this life, had you actually seen the Lord. And you realize God wanted him back, so he didn't show him the riches of the glory. Huh? Well, and the good news is, we're told in Revelations that they show us, even behold his face. And we don't have a clue what that means. It says heaven and earth fled from his face. Heaven and earth fled from his face, and we get to behold it. You know, right now, according to 2 Corinthians 3 and 2 Corinthians 4, by glory to glory, we get glimpses of the face of God. You know, Scripture says seeking the face of God. We don't have a clue what that means. I mean, every atom, every cell of your being would shatter and go in every direction had God looked at you in raw, cold, blatant. So it's his mercy that he is hidden and can only... Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot stand before God in the flesh. We have to have glorified bodies. Or you have to be in the spirit to handle the presence of God. Imagine a face that heaven and earth flees away in terror at the face of the Lamb. But the good news is by the Spirit we now have access into the presence of God by faith. All right, that's good news. You don't ever have to be afraid or ashamed. Now, that's the teaching, now that you're in, go all the way. Okay, then he shifts gears. And I read these verses. We're just going to read from here all the way to the end of the chapter. And I want to show you something really clear. I've never seen this before. That there really is a logical linear progression. There really is a teaching here about he starts out in verse 19 saying, okay, come on in. You can come all the way in by the blood of Jesus. Now, look what he says. There's a wisdom in the progression of what he says. It's amazing. In verse 24, he shifts gears. He says, now let's consider one another to provoke to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, that those two verses, he shifted gears. He says, now, having come in, let me tell you what that means. Go to church. Go to church. Be involved with others. Exhort one another. Don't forsake the assembling of one another. That it is in the context of the local assembly. It is in context of opening your life, exhorting, loving. And by the way, that excludes Wednesdays and Sunday services. Because in Hebrews 3, he says, exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. The biblical pattern of church is every single day you need to be involved with the body of Christ. It's not, if there's any day you're not involved with the body of Christ, you're missing the Lord. Because the church is the body of Christ, not something you go to. It's the body. It's people. It's relationships. It's accountability. It's open. It's vulnerability. It's correction. It's reproof. It's encouragement. It's members one of another. Can you hear an amen? That's why I believe the church is community. Community is different than communal, but we're a community. We're to be a family. You know, and families, if it's close, don't just get together, as it were, only relate to one another twice a week. There's kind of an ongoing bond with your mom and your brothers and your sisters. And if you're close to family, they pick up the phone anytime, even if they're not talking. There's a oneness, there's an openness, there's a connectivity, right? There's a community, there's a fellowship, there's a sense of unity, there's a sense of belonging, a sense of commitment, a sense of, like Jerry was saying, like that, you know, a sense of security in the relationship. That's what the body's meant to be. And that's what he said, don't forsake that. And it's interesting, why does he say that? Because that's where the enemy, first thing is going to hit you. You have this way into God, and you're going to do it all by yourself. You have this way into God, I'm saved, but I don't need anybody, me and Jesus. Called the Lone Ranger Syndrome. Or you got a lot of people in churches, but they might as well be all by themselves because the structure of the church doesn't lend itself to allowing the people to exhort one another, to minister to one another, to care for one another, to be members one of another. There isn't the sense of... The church is focused on the pulpit, on the front. The focus of the church is... churches go... It's like we call it a theater church. You don't pay at the window... You pay when they pass it. It's the same thing. You're there for this presentation. Now look what the next verse says. Now I thought, why in the world is he going to this? Then he talks about reprobation is possible. Now this, I thought, why are you shifting gears? He starts off talking about you can come boldly to the throne anytime by the blood. Please encourage, be involved in the local assembly, be involved with one another, exhort one another. You're called to be a members of Christ. Then he instantly shifts. He says, because if we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment, fiery indignation will devour the adversaries. Now in the law, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment do you suppose should he be thought worthy who is trodden underfoot the Son of God? Is counted the blood of the covenant where we were sanctified in a holy thing and has done and insulted, one version reads, the Spirit of grace. For we know him that said, vengeance belongs unto me, I'll recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I thought, now why in the world does he give this one of the heaviest words in the Bible about reprobation? Look at the context. There's, you know, you got to remember the Bible, these epistles were not written, they're letters. And when you write a letter, there's a flow to your thoughts, right? There's a logical, it's not just distinct thoughts plugged up to one another. There's a flow here. Where's he going? What's it going on in his mind? Where's the connection? Now I think they are connected. But I'm going to tell you something. The first step to reprobation is avoiding the forsaking the assembling of the saints. Because he immediately says, do not forsake the assembling of the saints. Exhort one another. Because if you sin willfully after you see the knowledge of the truth, guess what? You're going to end up treating this thing lightly, insulting the Spirit of grace, just cavorting in sin, you know, living like one way and saying something else, becoming religious. And God, he said, look at the Old Testament. Just, you know, you could die under two or three witnesses, and that was under the law, the dispensation of the law. How much worse should it be when you've had grace and the glory of God and you're reborn of the Spirit, you've gotten glimpses of the heavens, the Son of God died, and you do the same thing. Whoa, it's a fearful thing. He's saying, you know, this is very serious. I've never seen this before, but I think there's a reason he goes into the possibility of reprobation. An apostasy right after he talks about the assembly of the saints.
Because I'm going to tell you something. The first stage to apostasy and reprobation is to forsake the assembly of the saints. To get out of an environment where you're accountable, vulnerable, where people can speak into your life. You don't need nobody. You don't have to listen to nobody. I'm all me and Jesus. Folks, that's the first stage. Because then you get off from the others. You know, if you have a hot bed of coals, you take one hot coal, you put it over here, it ain't going to stay hot. You cool down, then the demons move in. And they begin the unwinding and the, let's just say, the destruction of your life, the end being death. Am I right? Does that make sense? Isn't it interesting how he says, come on in, come on in, you have access now, come in, but all of you come in together, it's a body. Don't forsake these. So you're called to exhort and love your neighbor. How do you serve the Lord? But you serve the Lord to your brother. Whatever you do to the least of these, you do to mine. So it's very serious. Reprobation is very real. I think a lot of people are going to be really surprised on Judgment Day. They're really going to think. And wonder why, you know, they're not being welcomed. You know, and again, something about that book really quick. Remember, that guy died. He was instantly brought up in the context of the fellowship of people who loved him and were welcoming him in. Suppose you died and your heart is full of bitterness. Suppose your heart is full of anger and you don't want to let something go. And you're resentful and you're nursing it and you die. Do you know what the scripture says? And this is scary stuff. In Matthew 5, he says, if you just say to your brother, you fool, you're in danger of hellfire. I mean, that's scary stuff. People don't read those. They don't understand what that means. But in other words, if you just say in your heart, from the abundance of the heart, if you just curse somebody and you write somebody off, it says you're greed. It's in my Bible. Must be in yours. Danger of hellfire. He's talking about your brother. He's not talking about lost people. So I don't know. That's why we ought to keep our account short. There ain't a person in here at times doesn't get resentful and bitter and frustrated. Folks, and that's human. But you know what? Keep your account short. Amen? Repent quickly while thou art in the way. Don't nurse it. Forgive. Because Jesus gave a parable that if you don't forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive. And you'll be delivered to the tormentors. And if you die and you've not been forgiven, what does that mean? Does Jesus mean what he says? That if you die, that you're not forgiven? Do you go to heaven? I don't know, but I can't imagine people unforgiven in heaven. Well, so I'm born again. I'm born again. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. I wrote in the back of my Bible, I am saved on this day, and praise God, I have a place in glory. Well, all of that's true. I'm not saying any of that's not true. And the moment you wrote it in the Bible and you were born again, you had a place in glory. But what about today? What'd you do today? Well, and all of a sudden all this spew comes out of their mouth about their boss or their wife or their husband or their mom or their dad or their neighbor. Bleah. I've stood at the doorway of people talk about how they're saved and then all this poison and pus comes out of their mouth about somebody. And I think, you know what? They're going to hell. Because they said a lot more than thou fool. Many are going to come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not see thee? Did we not go to new wine? I was involved in a deliverance session. I remember. Me and two ladies, we cast demons out. Lord, Lord, did we not do it? And Christ will say, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Depart from me. Why, you worker of iniquity? Because, why? Because there's iniquity. What it means is a just man falls seven times, but rises again. He's not saying walk around scared to death. He's just saying when you fall, what? Forgive yourself and get back up. But the Bible says, all my springs are in thee. Doing. Doing. Just bounce up. Amen? That's why I'm so committed to a quiet time. I have never been able to get through a quiet time at the back end where I was in the front end. Now, if you can do that, you need deliverance. I'm going to say that again. If you can go into a quiet time, angry, bitter, frustrated, and you go through a whole quiet time of the Lord, and in the back, and you're still angry, dude, you need some deliverance. You did not know how to come into the presence of God. Then I found when I go in a quiet time, and I humble myself for the Lord, and I worship Him, the first thing the Holy Ghost is going to do is bring the thing I don't want to look at. And if you ain't seeing that, you ain't touching God, or you're blind, you need deliverance. Because the Holy Ghost, the first thing He's going to do is says, look, I appreciate you spending time with me, but leave your gift here and go first be reconciled to your brother. Well, at least make it a commitment in your heart to do so. Forgive, ask forgiveness, and make a commitment. I'm going to make that thing right. Amen? And you do that. And guess what? He'll open the heavens. You'll be blessed. Come out of that. And my salvation has been my quiet time. I've had, praise God, for the last 25 years. My 25th year, I've been having quiet times every day in the morning. That's my salvation. I got to run. I got to work through the quiet time. So now what's on my spirit? When I get before the Lord, I'm determined to get in there. By a new and living way, get into his presence. And I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost is always sitting there saying, son, you need to deal with this. You need to let this go. Okay, Jesus. And then I'm back in fellowship with the saints, right? And it keeps me from those nasty verses of verse 26 to verse 31. Those are nasty verses, right? You ought to get a kind of a gray pen, kind of gray it out a little bit. Nasty. Nasty. Now, the verse 19 to 23, you get your yellow, kind of orange, light, real light. That's yellow. That's happy verses. And then verse 24 to 25, yeah, you make those kind of red or kind of mauve. Now, those are happy verses too. But you go to the gray, nasty verses. Now, what happens? Now, notice this in verse 32. This is fascinating. I thought, there's a logic here. He finishes talking about reprobation, banishment for eternity, fearful thing, falling into the hands of the living God. And then he shifts gears. He says, verse 32, but call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated or born again, you endured a great fight of affliction. A lot of people go through all kind of stuff after they get saved. You're talking about that neighbor of yours. One of the problems, one of the reasons he probably went through so much hell is because he didn't become part of the assembly of the saints. It's that simple. See, if you get saved and you don't consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, then all hell's going to hit you to bash that, to snuff out the little bit of light you got, Beth. See, we're not called to lead people to Christ. We're called to make disciples. Amen? And it's incumbent upon us to lead them to Christ and then take the wounded guy to the innkeeper. Right? He picked him up on his burrow, but he took him to the inn. And he took the money out of his pocket and took care of him. That's a type. Take him to the inn. The innkeeper is the type of the pastor. Put him up on a must. And it really is wise when you lead someone to Christ, say, do you understand what you're doing here? You're joining the military. That means you have to show up next Wednesday at the induction center. You don't sign the paper and not show up. Dude, you're AWOL and you hadn't even got in. You want to get saved? Okay, praise God. Let me tell you part of the package deal. You need to be up under the authority of a local church, under the authority of a pastor and elders, open to the body of Christ. That's the way you're going to be able to maintain what you create. Can I have a man? Otherwise, you're going to be decimated. The demons are going to rip him to pieces. That's exactly what's going on. If we actually do people disservice, just as casting out a demon can do them disservice if they're not repentant because they end up worse. So leading them to Jesus, if they have no interest in humbling themselves to others, can actually, it says it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and turned from the holy commandment. As it is written, the pig that was washed has returned to its wallowing in the mire, and the dog has returned to its vomit. I don't know how you can believe in eternal security and read those verses. You know what I mean? So he says, what's his solution? Call to memory the former days when you were born again. You endured a great fight of affliction. Yeah, all kind of hell hit you. Partly you were made a gazing stock by reproaches and affliction. Everybody looked at you like, my, weird. And partly you became companions of them who so used. You hung around these weird people. Suddenly you're hanging around people that you used to laugh at. When I was in high school, there was this one kid. I'll never forget. Never told this story. It's amazing after 26 years of preaching, I still come up with stories I've never told. I've never told this. Maybe I have. Maybe Jenny would remember. What? Oh, okay, I did tell it. I've told so many jokes that I don't even have to tell the joke anymore. I just give the number. You ready? 14. I just don't know how to tell them anymore. I'm sorry. Okay. Anyway, in high school, my high school, Slidell High, 1968, 69, and 70. I was there for 3 years. They had a junior high. I don't know if they do that anymore, but junior high was 7th and 8 and 9. All those years in high school, I was just a typical, confused punk. I wasn't with the elite, the cliques, you know, the cheerleaders, the jocks, who got in the courtyard and always had... I'm out kind of the low-life guys, kind of hanging out with the guys that just... Well, just we weren't worthy to be around the jocks. Who is a jock? Anybody in here? You're not even saved. Those people don't get saved. You know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that... Who? A jock. I'm kidding. Jesus can save anybody, even jocks and cheerleaders. And there was this one kid that whenever we would line up to go to the cafeteria, I'll never forget, he had baggy pants. No, you're talking... Now, I know that's in now, but you're talking in the 60s. That was not in. He had short hair and baggy pants. Dude, that was not in the 60s. He was total... The word is nerd, geek, before geek was popular. And we have geeks here, and that's kind of... It's ever since geeks become multi-billionaires, people kind of respect them, you know. But he was a nerd geek, and he would stand there with his baggy pants and short hair and hand out little Bible tracts. And I remember you'd walk in line trying to be cool, you know. And here's the guy with the, so you turn your back on him, dude, you know. And that guy, I don't know who he was. He was the only one in high school had the guts to stand up for Jesus. And you know, today he's the only one I really remember in high school. I have no idea. I never met him. He was a nerd. I got saved after my freshman year in college. I was long out of high school. But that guy's the only one I remember. Because he had the guts. Amen? Gazing stock. Look at this. You had compassion to me in my bonds. You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Let's read that again. You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Jenny, do you have something in your purse that you really like? All right. You're no fun. Somebody were to steal something from you, and you rejoiced. You come home, and they ripped you off, and you go, yes, Jesus, ha ha, I've been robbed, ha ha, insurance. Yeah, unfortunately, you do come out ahead, that's true. Sherry's mom's furniture got all messed up in a rack. She came out way ahead in the long run. In the short term, it's difficult. You took joyfully, knowing that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. The bottom line, you know what he's saying here? And I want you to see the connection here, guys. Listen. We start out, you're in. Now that you're in, get involved with others. Otherwise, the demon's going to come and run you out. That's simple. You're in, get involved with others, or you're going to be run out and better not to be even known it. Then he says, here's another solution. Think back when you first came in. How was it when you first came in? The Bible talks about your first love. Recall the former days. What was it like? Bring back to mind your first love. Bring back to mind what it means when you all ecstatic about being reconciled to God. Bring it back to mind. You know, there's something about first love. It can be restored. Revelation is talking to the church of Ephesus. He says, you've left your first love. But you know, he told them how to restore it. He said, go and do the first works. Revelation 3. It's easy to do the first works when you got the first love. It's later on. You know, like when I first got saved, I loved the Bible. I'd read it when I was brushing my teeth. I'd stay up. I mean, just... But you know, after many years go by, you know, it's going to take a commitment. You know what I mean? You're not always going to have the emotional ecstasy. It's going to take a commitment. It's called growing up. Amen? Are y'all awake? Do we need stronger coffee? Does our church hostess have good delicacies for us? And strong coffee? Okay, how do we close? Are y'all following the logic here? Let's close this now. Go in. Now that you're in, go all the way. Jesus has made a way for us, number one. Number two, go to church. Get involved with people. Because you're going to get slammed, dude. We're in a world full of devils. And you get saved, you better become part of the body of Christ.
Period. God never intended Lone Rangers. That's not the New Testament. Three, because apostasy, reprobation, falling away is very possible. Treating what you got lightly, and one of the translations for verse 29 is you insult the Spirit of grace. Then he says, here's something to do. Just continue to be grateful that just that you were saved. Just keep going back to the beginning. It's funny, I didn't know I was going to teach this today, but this morning in my quiet time, for some reason, I don't know why, I was reading something in the Word, and I sat back, and I actually went over in my mind the day I got saved this morning. Oh, I know why, because I was with my brothers yesterday. We had our Christmas thing, and my brother Paul was there the day I got saved. In the parking lot, sitting on an inner tube, Marlboro cigarette man. But do you know, right up from the Gulf Station, I went over to Ben Franklin 5 and Dime, and my brother was working. And I told him about it. First person I ever witnessed to is my brother, Paul. Fast forward 36 years. We're at his house yesterday. So that kind of was bringing back to my mind the early days of what it was to be saved. That was really cool. I kind of went back over that day of someone I was thinking. You know what I did this morning? I actually thanked the Lord for Merle, who witnessed to me. About time I did it after 36 years. He was a long-haired, noble-faired heroin addict, former heroin addict. Came over to me and witnessed to me. And I said, this morning, I said, oh, forgive me, Lord, if I'm running a little late here. Thank you for sending Merle to save, witness to me. Amen? I couldn't believe I'd never thanked the Lord. Maybe I did. But I was grateful for Merle. You know what's funny? One year later, the summer of 72, I was with some Jesus freaks in the French Quarter. We were out there handing out tracts, being fanatics. And I ran into Merle. Long hair, noble fair, leaping gnome, out there witness. And I got to witness to him by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that cool? He was a Baptist boy. Got to tell him how, Merle, you know, and I remember he couldn't hardly remember me. I explained the little revival I went to, and I remember standing there telling him, yeah, and I speak in tongues, man. You know, no subtlety about it at all. You need to speak in tongues. So how does he close it? Consider your start now. Let's close this. Verse 35. I love this. You know what he's basically saying? Now finish your race. You come in, get involved with God's people. Careful. Apostasy is going to look over your shoulder as you do the right thing. Just keep in mind the good thing God's done to get you going. And verse 35, now finish the race. Cast not away your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. Guys, there is a reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. God has promises for you, but he has something between A and C, and it's called B, and B is life. You were born again, illuminated. He has a glory for eternity, but you've got to go through the will of God. The will of God is the will of God for you. He has a call and a destiny and a purpose for you. Are you going to fulfill it? Are you going to be 30, 60, or 100-fold? What are you going to do with what he's given you? Are you going to take it and take the 5 talents and make them 10, take the 2 talents and make them 4, or hide it in the mattress and be rejected by the Lord? What are you going to do? That's what it's all about. Have need of patience. You have a set amount of days from the moment you're born again to the moment you die. Or some of us may get to get raptured. There's a set amount of days. What are you doing? Every day. Every day. You have only so many days. And you know what's so sad is we only got one life for all eternity. This is one shot. There is no reincarnation. You don't come back some roach and then a rabbit and a turtle and a puppy dog and a bird and a tree and a giraffe and finally you make it to a cat. Oh, Lord, that's kind of going back. An American? No, praise God, none of that. For it is given unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. One life, guys. You know, Bible says this life is like a vapor. How many are over 50? This is an elderly group. How many are over 60? My elders, they're all in the same row. Yes, they move in packs. They move in bunches. How many of y'all are under 30? You know what? When you're under 30, you think you're never going to die. You got forever. When you're between 30 and 40, you begin to go, hey, wait a minute. When you hit 40,
Lordy, lordy. But when you hit 50, dude, you get your first AARP letter.
Yeah.
Don't fund that bunch. It's a bunch of liberal snots. But nevertheless, you get your AARP letter, and you realize, you know, this thing is not forever, man.
There's less ahead than there was behind.
I'm determined to fight this thing and win it. 4 years, I'll be walking with Jesus. 40 years. Maxing it for Jesus. In 4 years, is 40 years. Dude. I remember my preacher used to say, who's going to make it 25? Dude, I'm going up. I'm pushing 40. I'd like to make... How many is that going to be? What's 19 minus 77? Who's a math major? 77 minus 19. What's that? 58. 58 years. Let's finish it. For you yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. He is coming. A little while. In eternity, it's just a little while. But he's going to come. Either you're going to go, or he's going to come. But y'all going to meet. One way. Either you go, he comes, you're going to meet. Ain't going to look down the barrel of your eyeballs. Ain't nobody going to tell you. He's going to say, you listen to that man, Chris, the fanatic. And he spoke the word of truth. And you are accountable. You could have run through the door and gone down the street and gone down to where they offer the smooth peanut butter. But no, you wanted crunchy. Well, y'all have some serious marital difficulties. One likes smooth, the other likes crunchy. Okay, Jenny, I sense something there. Now the just, verse 38, two verses to close this, guys. Do you all see the connectivity of these verses? Hello, nod and say, yes, Pastor, we see the connectivity of the verses. Okay. Now the just shall live by faith. And if any man draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Hello, there's the apostasy again. You going to draw back? But we're not of them. They draw back to perdition. By the way, that word means you're lost. And that there's another verse. We're not of them who draw back to destitution, perdition, and reprobation, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then the next verse is the whole 11th chapter. It's the hallmark, the, what do you call it? The hall of fame of faith. And so it's almost like he says, now I've kind of got you going. Now let's walk through this museum of all those who started, got tempted to go reprobate, stayed faithful, and finished the race. That's all of chapter 11. Then in chapter 12, he says, now, being surrounded with such a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you, looking unto Jesus, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Can you imagine? Do y'all see the connectivity of these verses? Epistles were written as letters. We tend to pull the verses out. The message to us today, guys, is if you've gone on in, let's just commit to go all the way. Amen? Y'all ready to pray? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you this morning that your word is alive and true. I thank you for revealing that stuff to me. It was really cool to see all those verses come together. Lord, let your word be meat to us. And as we go into the new year, Father, we want to make a commitment. We want to be wise, knowing that our safety is in the multitude of counselors. It's as we're with one another, humble ourselves together, that the enemy, maybe he can't pick us because one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. He cannot pick us out when we're together. By the way, the lion always goes for the little sheepies out on the edge. Let's protect us, Lord, and thank you for the days we came to you. Lord, we're just determined to get up every day, quickly forgive, quickly keep short accounts. Amen? Just forgive quickly right now in the name of Jesus. If you got any ought against anybody, guys, including yourself, just forgive. I know they're not worthy to be forgiven. So what? Neither are you. So forgive anyway. Amen? Forgive because you certainly weren't worthy and you were forgiven by mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now forgive and bless and release. And in fact, get to the point and say, thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to learn how to love. Come, Holy Ghost. Work in our hearts this morning. Set our hearts aright. Now, we can be available this week. Guys, I want to encourage you to be available this week. Y'all say those two words with me. I'm available. Let's say it again. I'm available. Are you going to be available this week to the Lord? Lord, I'm grateful that for Beth, who's going to go and pray. I know this week we're going to encounter people that have needs. Are you available? Let's do the work of the kingdom. Let's all stand. God's peace and grace and protection be with everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.